47. It can be found on page 48 of the Bibles provided for you in the pew. Here in Genesis 47, we kind of pick up the story of the life of Joseph. We go into a quick little interlude. See, Joseph had been sold into slavery, as you know, and through the famine that in the land of Canaan, God's people in the life or the family of Jacob was pushed towards Egypt because of that famine to find help with getting food. And his brothers, Joseph's brothers, come into contact with him, and they're restored to one another. And Joseph gives forgiveness to his brothers. And here we pick up the scene of where Jacob is now himself going into Egypt and finding himself with Joseph. And he's being presented. Here Joseph had now presented his brothers to Pharaoh. And here we pick up the story where Jacob is being presented to Pharaoh. We're going to be reading from chapter 47, verses 7 through 12. So this is a quick little story, an interlude. But this little story is the Word of God. And God doesn't just give us details for no reason. They're very important. So give your attention to God's holy word. Genesis 47, verses 7 through 12. Then Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and stood him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many are the days of the years of your life?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days and the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence of Pharaoh. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with food according to the number of their dependents. This is God's word. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, we know that you speak to us, and you speak to us through your word. So Lord, we pray that as we've read your word, that you would speak and you would teach us the story of Jacob and Pharaoh. In Christ we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there's a famine in our land. There's a famine in our land. You might say, "Jason, how can you be saying that?" You know, economic prosperity seems to be what's going on in our time. The statistics of the economy is that it's going up. You know, there might be a little dips here and there, but the economy is booming. More jobs were added this summer than have in many years. The GDP is growing. There's plenty of food to eat. In fact, the United States exports more food than any other country in the world. Yet despite all this economic prosperity, despite this abundance, pessimism is on the rise, especially among our young people. Despair fills our streets. There's a famine in our land. Depression and suicide rates are skyrocketing, and there appears to be no hope. The media, education, medicine, politics, they seem to have no answer to the problem. Drown yourself in entertainment, they say. You'll forget about all your problems. Just take this medicine, and you'll dull the pain. We have no answers to the meaning of life, so just forget about it. It's not even worth thinking about. There's a spiritual famine in our land. And where are people to turn? Who has the answers to the problem? Who will stand up and speak the truth? Well, here in the account of the life of Jacob, we find a man who is old. He's lived a long life, 130 years, the text says. Presumably, he's probably pretty worn out. And yet, he stood up and spoke the truth. And you and me, like Jacob, are called to stand up and to speak the truth. Wherever the Lord may give you opportunity to stand, stand for hope. Stand for the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be willing to stand up and tell about the good news of Jesus. So as we look at this passage, as we go through this passage, we're going to ask ourselves two questions to understand what's going on here. Two questions. The first question is, what is the purpose of your stand? As you stand up, what is the purpose of your stand? I believe here it's saying, our purpose to stand is to share the blessing with the nations. Look at verses 7 and 10. As Jacob's being presented to Pharaoh, he begins with a blessing and he ends with a blessing. Here, verse 7, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And then in verse 10, Jacob blessed Pharaoh as he went out. So you must understand the purpose of your stand if you're going to stand. Here in the life of Jacob, we have a nomadic shepherd. He's been pushed from the land that God promised him. God promised him that land of Canaan, yet he leaves that promised land and is pushed into Egypt due to this famine. Here a shepherd stands before a king. In all accounts we have through the scriptures, Jacob is a pretty wealthy man, but yet he stands before the Egyptian Pharaoh. There he stands before the ruler of one of the greatest empires in the world. And yet Jacob understood who he was and what he had to offer Pharaoh. So us as believers, it's hard sometimes. We can think, what do we have to offer the world? What can we contribute to the conversation? Brothers and sisters, let me remind you that you are members of the Lord's house. And how much better is it for us to stand in the Lord's house than to dwell in the tents of wicked kings? How much better is it to be one of God's children? See, we must be willing to forfeit all the luxuries of life, everything this world has to offer. The possibility of being reproached and rejected by men. So you might be thinking in your own heart, you know, like, give me that opportunity. I'll stand before Pharaoh. I'll stand before the president, city council, and speak the truth. Yet, we find it difficult to stand up in front of our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, and to speak the truth. Even our family members. What did Jacob have to offer Pharaoh? As we said in verses 7 and 10, he blessed Pharaoh. We could think of this as maybe as a common salutation. If any of you spent some time in the South, and you, southern lady, oh, bless your heart, bless your soul. But I don't think that's what Jacob is doing here. He's not just a common salutation to Pharaoh. There's more than just that. So you're reminded of this promise that was given to Jacob's father, Abraham, or his grandfather, Abraham. Father. Following, grandfather, sorry. Abraham, remember on the altar, when he was getting ready to place Isaac on the altar, Abraham was told that through your offspring shall all the nations be blessed. This was a promise to his grandfather. This promise was also confirmed to Jacob in Genesis 28 in a dream. That this covenant promise was passed down to Jacob. That through his line, through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. This is a story of the greater being blessed by the lesser. Obviously, by worldly standards, Jacob was inferior to Pharaoh. He's just a shepherd. How could he stand before this man without understanding who he was and his calling? I was involved in a ministry, and my friend runs this ministry that deals with veterans. And what he does is called outdoor immersion. He takes veterans and he takes them into the creation. And as Romans tells us, that when they're exposed to the power of God, you can't help but notice the power of God. And then when he's there, he takes this opportunity to preach the gospel to them. Tell them about forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And just a few months ago, one of the congressmen from our district came and said, "Hey, I want to see what your ministry is doing." Mainly, I think, to see how they could probably maybe even pump money towards something like this. But as my friend stood before this congressman, and this congressman offering the world, essentially, my friend said to him, "Hey, I don't need your money. I could take it or leave it. What I really want is your referrals so I can then preach the gospel and how forgiveness can be had in Jesus Christ. You can offer me everything. I don't need that." But he's willing to stand up, and he preached the gospel to this man. It was a beautiful thing. See, Jacob here was looking forward to the ultimate seed, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. This blessing was to be the Lord Jesus Christ. That promise that was found back in the garden of the serpent having its head crushed. That is the blessing that Jacob has to offer. You, too, are to be a blessing to the nations. Like Jacob, you are to honor kings and princes and congressmen and presidents for their position. If you remember back in the story when Jeremiah was talking to the exiled people, he advised the people of God to pray for the peace of Babylon. Because he knew that as long as the peace in the empire was there, that meant good things for the people of God. Meant for their own peace. And Paul instructed Timothy to pray for a peaceable life, to remain peaceable. And it was good to be part of that. It was good for God's people. And yes, we are to be caring neighbors, good citizen, productive workers. And that's how we're to bless people. Yes, but we're to be so much more. We're to stand up and proclaim the ultimate blessing which can be found in Christ. To stand tall. And we need to be committed to blessing the nations. Committed to proclaiming that message of Jesus Christ. And in this blessing, what are we to say? How are we to say it? Well, I think here in the verses 8 and 9, we're given that second question. What is the content of our stand? We looked at the purpose of our stand. Here we look at the content of our stand in verses 8 and 9. The content of our stand is to testify of the gospel of hope. Well, here in verse 8, Pharaoh begins with a question. How old are you? And not unlike us, we probably see a man of 130 years and we'd say, "Wow, how old are you?" Pharaoh took notice of his age. And here we respect age, and they have a lot to offer. And no doubt, Jacob showed his very age. So much like you see an older guy out there on the basketball court, you're like, "Man, how old are you? You're still doing this. You're still out here kicking." And there's evidence in the Egyptian world that they really looked upon age with great... Their life expectancy was short, and so they saw an older person and saw a great blessing there. And therefore, Pharaoh looks in wonder. But this direct question, "How old are you?" essentially... Jacob responds in not such a direct answer. And as we look at it on surface level, it can seem like this. Here he says, "I'm a sojourner. I'm a pilgrim. I've gone from here to there. I've moved around. I went to the promised land. And now I've come back. I'm here in Egypt." He says, "Few are my days." And this might challenge our view of few. If I was 130 years, I wouldn't say my days were few. But as we look at the life of his father and his grandfather, they were very old. Abraham lived to 175. Isaac, the age of 180. So few are his days. And then he says, "Evil." Well, this word translated evil can really mean difficult have been my days. My life has been difficult. And Jacob did have a difficult life. He was confronted with many afflictions in his life. Remember, he was forced to flee because of his brother Esau. He was prospects of being killed, so he fled. He labored for 14 years for his wife in Laban's house. Remember, his daughter was abused at Shechem. And then his sons led to the slaughter of these people in Shechem. He buried his beloved wife, Rachel. He believed his beloved son was dead. So Jacob did have, in fact, a life of difficulty. You could think that maybe this Jacob was just a man of sorrows. Maybe even you think maybe he's a complainer. My days have been tough. Woe is me. I'm not in the promised land. I'm nearing death. I didn't get as old as my dad or my grandfather. My life has been extremely difficult. But I don't think so. I don't think that's what Jacob is saying here. We must look a little deeper, below the surface. And I'd ask you to keep your finger in Genesis here and turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews is kind of like a divine commentary on the Old Testament. It really gives a vivid picture of what's going on in God's people, in the life of God's people in the Old Testament. Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16. Keep in mind here the life of Jacob. Verse 13. These all died in faith. Talking about the saints of old. Not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking about the land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, a heavenly one. No, Jacob wasn't simply saying his life was hard and short. No, it's precisely the opposite. He's declaring his hope, confirming his hope is outside of this life. It's in the covenant promise of God. Although Jacob related to Pharaoh the brevity of life and difficulty of this life, he testifies to a more glorious future. The saints that died of old look forward to that homeland that was promised. That's the testimony of Jacob. That's the content of our stand. And as we looked at this passage, we need to draw a few applications. See, as before, we stand up for the hope of the gospel to others. We need to be confirmed in our own hearts and our own souls. Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is assurance of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen." See, your hope must be rooted in Jesus Christ. Him crucified, Him resurrected, Him ascended, and Him preparing a place for you in glory. And us as believers, we can't grasp to this life. We can't grasp on to riches and wealth, family, our job, prestige. Because if we grasp on to this life, as Corinthians says, we are to be most pitied. We need to let go of this life and grasp onto Jesus Christ. Because for us, to live is Christ, but to die is to gain. So as we testify our own heart and confirm that hope we have, we need to find our place to stand. See, for you, your place to stand is distinct from mine. God has given you different opportunities. The work that you have, the family that you live in, the friends that you keep, God has given you a distinct place in which you can stand. And it's different than others. Your gifting, your education, your ethnicity. See, Jacob was given a distinct opportunity to stand before a king, but not all of us were given that opportunity or given that opportunity. So we need to look for places to stand. Where's the Lord calling you to stand today? Maybe it's with your coworker who's struggling in a broken family. Maybe it's a neighbor, a classmate that's struggling in depression. Maybe it's an older woman who stops you at the lunch table and looks at death and really has no hope as she faces death. Commit yourself this day to standing up in your distinct place and being a blessing to the nations. And thirdly, we're to do this in a winsome way, in a relational way. It's important the way that we approach people. Remember in the book of Acts, how Peter leveraged his position as a Jew to preach the gospel. And then Paul takes in the Ephesus and he uses this God of the known unknown God. He uses that as a way to get to the gospel message. He leverages the culture. Well, I think here Jacob, what he's doing is he's leveraging the human condition. We all know that life is coming to an end. We can't escape it. It's in front of us every day. Even at the youngest child deals with this. In the darkness of their room, oftentimes they'll run into your room and get up in your bed and they're scared about life and death. Even at a young age, we deal with these things. And everyone around us is dealing in difficult situations, aren't they? If things are dealing with, as we leverage those things, hey, as you're facing death, I could tell you about the hope in the gospel. As you're dealing with this difficult situation in your family, I could tell you about the hope of the gospel. We need to leverage the human condition like Jacob does here and preach the gospel. With prosperity all around us, all we have to do is dig a little deeper, and we can see that there is, in fact, a famine in our land, a spiritual wasteland. Why has the Lord placed us here in this time, in this place, you here in Ridgefield Park, in this great metropolis of an area? Why has He placed you here at this particular time and place? And as sojourners in the land, as pilgrims, you must be ready to stand up and bless the nations. But also we're here to bless our neighbor, our classmates, our coworkers, in a winsome way, testifying of the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope we have in the life to come. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You would, in fact, confirm in our hearts the hope we have in the gospel. Lord, make us aware.